3. The General Contact Unit Grey Area didn't hold with avatars. It spoke through a slave drone. Young lady, don't you young lady me in that patronizing tone, Alva said, putting her hands on her suit of gem-encrusted hips. She still had the suit helmet on, though with the visor plate hinged up. They were in the GCU's hangar space, with a variety of modules, satellites, and assorted paraphernalia. It looked like the space was fairly crowded at the best of times, but it was even more cluttered now, with a small module that had belonged to the ROU Frank Exchange of Views sitting in it. "Miss Sedge," the drone purred on, unaffected, "I was not supposed to pick up you or your colleague Dunchurt Line. I have done so because you were effectively adrift in the middle of a war zone. If you really insist—"
"We weren't adrift,"
Alva said, waving her arms around and pointing back at the module.
"We were in Metz. It's got engines, you know."
"Yes, very slow ones. I did say effectively adrift." The ship slave drone, a casingless assemblage of components floating at head height, turned to the drone Chert Line. "Dunchurt Line, you too are welcome. Would it be possible for you to attempt to persuade your colleague, Miss Sedge?
And don't talk about me as if I'm not here either,"
Alva said, stamping one foot. The deck under Gunnar Hofhoen's feet resounded. He'd never been more glad to see a GCU. Released from that damned module, and over Sedge's abrasive moodiness, bliss. The grey area had welcomed him first, he'd noticed. Finally he was back on course. From here to the sleeper, get the job done, and then, if the war wasn't totally fucking things up, off for some R&R somewhere while things were settled. He still found it hard to believe the affront had actually declared war on the culture. But assuming they really had, then, once it was all over and the affront had been put in their place, culture people with affront experience would be needed to help manage the peace and the culturization of the affront. In a way, he'd be sorry to see it. He liked them the way they were. But if they were crazy enough to take on the culture, maybe they did need teaching a lesson. A bit of enforced niceness might do them some good. They weren't going to like it, though, because it would be a niceness that was enforced, leniently, patiently, and gracefully. The sort of unflappable self-certainty the culture couldn't help displaying when all its statistics proved that it was really doing the right thing. Probably the affront would rather have been pulverized and then dictated to. Anyway, whatever else happened between now and then, Gunnar Hofhoen was sure they'd give a good account of themselves. Alva Sedge was doing not badly in that line herself. Now she was demanding she and the drone be put back in the module immediately and allowed to continue on their way. Given that the first thing she'd done when the grey area had contacted them was demand to be rescued and taken aboard at once, this was a little cheeky, but the girl obviously didn't see it that way.
"This is piracy," she hollered.
"Alpha," the drone Chert Line said calmly, "and don't you go taking its side."
"I'm not taking its side. I'm just—"
"You are so." The argument went on. The ship's slave drone looked from the girl to the elderly drone and then back again. It rose once in the air fractionally, then settled back down again. It swiveled to Gunnar Hofhoen.
"Excuse me," it said quietly.
Gunnar Hofhoen nodded. The drone Chert Line was cut off in mid-sentence and floated gently down to the floor of the hangar. Alva Sedge scowled, furious. Then she understood. She turned to the slave drone, whirling round and jabbing a finger at it.
How dare!
The visor plate of her suit clanked shut, her suit powered down to statue-like immobility. The jeweled faceplate sparkled in the hangar's lights. Gunnar Hofhorn thought he could hear some distant muffled shouting from inside the girl's suit.
Musetch, the drone said, I know you can hear me in there.
I'm terribly sorry to be so impolite, but I regret to say I was finding these exchanges somewhat tedious and unproductive. The fact is that you are now entirely in my power, as I hope this little demonstration proves. You can accept this and pass the next few days in relative comfort, or refuse to accept this, and either be locked up, followed by a drone intervention team, or drugged to prevent you getting into mischief. I assure you that in any other circumstance save that of war, I would happily consign you and your colleague to your module and let you do as you wished. However, as long as I am not called upon to perform any overtly military duties, you are almost certainly much safer with me than you are drifting along, or even purposefully moving along, in a small, unarmed, and all but defenseless module, which, I would beg you to believe, could nevertheless all too easily be mistaken for a munition or some sort of hostile craft by somebody inclined towards a reconnaissance by fire approach. Gunnar Hofhorn could see the girl's suit shaking. It started to rock from side to side. She must be throwing herself around inside it as best she could. The suit came close to overbalancing and falling. The little slave drone extended a blue field to steady it. Gunnar Hofhorn wondered how strong the urge had been to just let it fall. If I am called upon to lend my weight to the proceedings, I shall let you go, the ship's drone continued. Likewise, once I have discharged my duty to Mr. Gunnar Hofhorn and the Special Circumstances section, you will, I imagine, be free to leave. Thank you for listening. Chertline bobbed into the air and continued where it had left off.
Reasonable for once in your pampered bloody life.
Then its voice trailed away. It gave a wonderful impression of being confused, turning this way and that a couple of times. Alva's faceplate came up. Her face was pale, her lips compressed into a line. She was silent for a while. Eventually she said,
"You are a very rude ship. You had better hope you never have to call upon the hospitality of Phage Rock."
If that is the price of your acquiescence to my entirely reasonable requests, then, young lady, you have a deal.
And you'd better have some decent accommodation aboard this heap of junk, she said, jabbing a thumb at Gunnar Hofhorn. I'm fed up inhaling this guy's testosterone.